back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Alex Jones Show. Second hour is on. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Normally, of course, I host The War Room, which you can watch each and every weekday, 3 to 6 p.m. here on InfoWars. And like I was saying at the beginning of the show, InfoWars has grown and expanded continuously since I first started working here 9 years ago to the day. We have built new studios, built new buildings, and of course survived the most outrageous attacks against us. And you gotta, like, I think everybody who's helped us in this, you should all marinate on that. You should all enjoy this, because this is the victory that you should be enjoying vicariously through us. That at every turn, you know these people. You know the scumbags in Washington, D.C., the lawyers, the politicians that want us to just shut the hell up and they can't figure out how to make us. You know that there have been like three or four times where they were popping the champagne bottle and cheersing each other and saying, that's it for InfoWars. They're going down now. We won't have to worry about them anymore. It had to have been, at least they had to have, they honestly, they probably thought they took us down in 2018. In 2018, when they took us off of Twitter and Facebook and Spotify and YouTube, all at once. I mean, YouTube was our main platform. We dominated YouTube. We were bigger and better than any other channel, including channels that are like given so much corporate and institutional support. I mean, if you buy a little device like a Roku or something, you're going to have like the Young Turks loaded in and all these other leftist, you know, channels. Meanwhile, we're being algorithmically crushed and still beating them continuously. And so you have to imagine on that day in 2028, when they somehow conspired to get every big tech company on the planet to simultaneously kick us off of every platform we are on, you must think they were walking around going, we did it. That's it. He's gone. The menace is over. Only like, I don't know, the Undertaker or something, we sit back up and come back at them stronger than ever before, because Alex Jones knew exactly how dangerous he was to the establishment. He knew exactly how far they would go to try to shut him up. And so he built interference resistant systems. He built the Alex Jones Store, because at the end of the day, the bad guys, no matter how much they want to tear our system down, no matter how much they want to root out the fundamental building blocks of America and replace them with communism, basically, they still have to rely on capitalism. Like, capitalism still exists in America. Our entire system functions on it. If you have a product that you want to sell and somebody else wants to buy it, there's not a lot the government can do to get in the way. So Alex Jones used that and just said, okay, we'll have a store. We'll have a store. We'll sell products. They're good products. It's not even just like t-shirts and merchandise. It's like actually good products that you actually want. And even if you don't like our information, you might buy our products because they're just that good. And there are people out there like that. They're like, I don't like InfoWars, but that iodine is definitely top of the line. And all of our stuff is top of the line. But it was this system that was outside of their control. Because we don't have any corporate masters, because we don't have any advertisers, we have been able to survive these attacks and actually thrive during them. So again, thank you for our support. We're going to get into all of the big news. We've got big hearings happening on Capitol Hill, major videos coming out about that, fallout from the hearings yesterday that we covered on The War Room with Josh Hawley grilling Keith Ellison, and Ellison just refusing to acknowledge that he's a criminal, so I guess he gets away with it. Totally absurd, but we've got some follow-up to that, as well as, of course, moving gigantic amounts of military equipment towards Iran, as it looks like we're not quite done with that debacle quite yet. And we've got terrorist attacks from the left to cover. So we still have a lot more to cover today, and should be joined by Robert Barnes here momentarily. And as soon as he's on, we'll get into sort of the details of our countersuit, which you can read about at InfoWars by going to InfoWars.com and looking at the article called Alex Jones Files Second Amended Counterclaim in Bankruptcy Court Alleging Constitutional Violations in Sandy Hook Default Judgment. Alex Jones has filed a second amended counterclaim against the Sandy Hook families, arguing defendants colluded with the state of Connecticut to deprive him of constitutional rights in connection to more than $1.5 billion in default judgments entered against him. And folks, just like they tested internet censorship on us, this has been a test of the legal system. Can they get away with it? So this isn't even about InfoWars. This is about the ability of the bad guys to use these systems to silence their opponents, silence their critics, silence the truth tellers that are exposing them. We're not going to let them win, and this lawsuit is our counterattack.
The entire world is racing into the fourth turning and the greatest quickening our species has seen in 10,000 years of recorded history. You know you're in a war, right? And it's a declared war. The globalists have declared war on Team Humanity. They've declared war on the God that made us. It is not incredible. It is not heroic. It is not amazing to fight this. It is survival. This is the priority. This is the real world. This is game time. This is the crossroads of human destiny right now. Right now. And I see a bunch of other people not realizing how desperate the situation is. We need maximum urgency. We're up against the most evil people the world's ever seen. Don't you understand that? I don't want anybody to go out and be physically violent. I want you to kill with truth. Kill with your will. Kill, kill, kill their lies.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen. Right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Follow us on X at Real Alex Jones, at InfoWars, at AJN Live, because you're going to want to hear from us where our new home is whenever this place gets forcibly shut down by the feds. It's almost appropriate. It would almost be like a failure of Alex if he didn't piss off people enough that they're willing to break the entire system of law to bring him down. I mean, there's just something so like legendary about this, that Alex is just some dude in Texas going on literally a cable access channel. Cable access. It doesn't really exist to the level that it used to, obviously, because of YouTube and stuff. But, you know, used to just anybody could go in and have a show. And Alex just happened to be the best in the world at doing this. And just by sheer force of will and popularity and you know, people actually connecting with his message, to go from talking about the New World Order, talking about the elite cabals that run the world, to being in active battle with them and standing toe to toe with them and actually winning against them in the courts, it's just an incredible story to be a part of. So thank you for your support. And we will get to the news now, and we'll continue to talk about what's happening, because everything, all of this should be major news. It's frankly bizarre that it's not. Just because I guess it's Alex Jones, it's InfoWars, we've been smeared enough in the mainstream that people are afraid to actually tell the truth about us. But you would think that this would be of massive concern to anybody who cares about freedom of speech or just the proper functioning of our law courts, but we can never get support. But this should be a top story across the country, this countersuit that we're claiming. The 60-page long filing is available now on Alex's account at Real Alex Jones, as well as Brandon Morello, at Brandon Morello. And we go through just some of the incredible malfeasance that we've been subjected to that, again, we could just go on and on and on about. It should be a top story, you know, worldwide, but we'll wait for that. I'm sure that'll happen here momentarily. I'm sure the mainstream, it's weird. Only Bloomberg covers this, and only because they have like a personal stake in it, and they lie about it most of the time anyway. But anyway, we'll move on. But the story is at InfoWars. Alex Jones files second amended counterclaim in bankruptcy court. And this is a monumental and really could be like game changing civil rights lawsuit. And that's exactly what this is. It's civil rights. Our civil rights are being attacked, and we have to defend them. And we are. And we're succeeding. We're successful in this so far, and we will continue to be. So this actually just broke, or rather was just posted from General Mike Flynn. I haven't actually responded to it yet, but it's been going pretty viral, and it has to do with the Epstein files that we can get into. Again, it's been 1 week since the files were released. It feels like it's been 10 years. I feel like it's been 10 years since we started to look at the Jeffrey Epstein documents, because it feels like 10 years worth of information has come out in the last week. And I hope everybody's doing okay. I hope you're all doing all right. The same thing keeps happening. So I don't know if the effects are compounding or if maybe people are being a nerd to this concept. But I remember back in 2024 when the Gaza conflict really started going and people were posting just a ton of stuff about Israel and And it was like, okay, this is like 20 years worth of 4chan browsing in like a week. I don't know if human brains are ready for this. There was a time where the forbidden information you had to go, you had to seek out, right? You had to be the type of person that went and discovered things you weren't supposed to discover and looked at things that you maybe didn't want people to know you were looking at. You had to go find this stuff. And there, you know, hidden in all the mess was like nuggets of truth that you could identify and pull out, and you had to have discernment to find out what those are. Now it's all just being shoved in people's feeds, and like, I don't know if people are ready for it. But just know we've been on this page for 20 years. We're all right. We're fine. It hasn't depressed us. It hasn't blackpilled us. I see a lot of people going, oh my gosh, you know, the Epstein files, it just shows that it's so crazy how big this problem is. There's nothing we can do. And it's like, guys, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? This Epstein file release represents an apex of our movement, a massive victory in the information war. I didn't even think we were going to get this. I was so resigned to the ability of the bad guys to manipulate things. I never thought we'd get a release like we've gotten. The release itself is a trophy, is like proof of our victory. And so then to see people go, but it just makes me sad. It's like, what do you mean it makes you sad? Yeah, it's terrible. What they're doing is heartbreaking and terrible and disgusting and gruesome. And like, you wouldn't be human if you could just read some of this stuff and not have an emotional reaction to it. It's okay. Just don't let that convince you that you're helpless, because that is the worst possible outcome of all this. There's two possible outcomes. One is that you just go, this whole system's corrupt. Let's just embrace communism or something unadvisable like that. Just basically going, this is capitalism. This must be capitalism's fault. I guess we should all be communists. And I just keep explaining this. That's like, guys, the system is bad. I feel like I'm a Russian in 1917 going, look, guys, the Tsar is not great, but gulags. Have you ever heard of gulags? Like, yeah, our system's not perfect. It's messed up. There's a lot of terrible people in positions of power that need to be not just removed, but probably arrested and some of them hung or, you know, given the death penalty after, you know, a trial and the due process and all of that good stuff. So, yeah, I'm not saying it's not as bad as everybody thinks it is. I'm just saying it could get worse. I'm saying it could get a hell of a lot worse. I'm saying the people under the Tsar thought it was bad until the Gulag Archipelago came into existence. So we don't want to do that. We don't want to just throw the baby out with the bathwater and think that the whole system is inalterably corrupt and we have to throw it out and replace it with something brand new and never tried before, even though it's just communism. It's been tried a bunch. It keeps killing everybody. That's one outcome of this we want to avoid. The other outcome, which is possibly even worse, is that all of this comes out, all of this dirt is made public, and then nothing happens from it. And no one gets punished, and no one gets thrown into prison. That's unacceptable. Like, we won't accept it. Not like we don't want it to happen, but like, we won't accept it. And so, obviously, I mean, personally, my argument is I'm desperate to have the lawful and legal authorities deal with this, but that's not the only option. And like, I don't know what we have to do to compel the legal and lawful authorities to do their damn jobs for once and just arrest the terrible criminals talking about eating babies. Like, if you could do that, then us regular normal human beings wouldn't have to deal with this. Us civilians can go about our daily lives, you know, in comfort, knowing that our authorities are doing their job and fulfilling their obligation as part of this societal pact we have going. But as long as they keep being in cahoots with the criminals, we might have to take a different tack here, not of waiting and trusting, but rather of acting and achieving. And again, it is just beyond weird that Europe is actually collapsing under the Epstein files. If you were a space alien, looked at the outcome of the Epstein files, you would think this was like a UK scandal. You would think this was something that happened in the UK and was specific to the UK, because their top civil person, it's a weird role. If you've ever seen Yes Minister, he's the other main character that's like the head civic government guy. They have a weird system in Britain, but he just resigned over Epstein. Multiple people in very high positions of power in the British government have resigned. The prince kicked out of his damn house over it. Meanwhile, the vast majority of the people implicated are here in America, and we're not doing crap about it. It's a little weird. It's a little bizarre. Let's find out what General Mike Flynn has to say about all this. He says, the Epstein affair, like it or not, this is how I see it. The Epstein affair, long the subject of being a sophisticated intelligence operation designed to compromise global elites through blackmail, i.e. grotesque, demonic, pure evil, quote-unquote honey traps, in order to control what they do and how they behave, now appears to be another quote-unquote conspiracy theory turned true. So please stop telling me and everyone else in the nation to move along, nothing to see here. And our own intelligence community via a certain intelligence agency is clearly implicated along with their counterparts in other nations. For all what this is about. The affair is about clear sexual abuse of children, murder, rape, mutilation, and other weird psycho crap behavior by people who clearly believe they are untouchable. The overwhelming evidence, and more to come out, also paints a horrific picture that Epstein did not act alone. He was a critical node in a dark web of predatory intelligence activity aimed at compromising the global elites, and many were easy prey because of their sick existing proclivities for child and other human and non-human sacrifice. It is impossible without even more transparency to determine the full scale and scope of the compromise. Is every world leader compromised? Doubtful, but controlling the world takes a lot of effort, and that is the ultimate goal of Satan, or whichever of this elite club wears that hat currently. Someone has to. All of this madness and moral depravity highlights how influence and espionage often blur in elite circles, but when they want to get you, they will, unless you understand what they're doing and are able to stand against it. I have said in warfare, a commander should never state a red line. It gives away an option to an enemy that an enemy will exploit, and that is true in the annals of warfare. However, in life, a red line, and my personal red line for humanity, must be to protect children at all costs from those who would commit grotesque criminal acts against them. It's time for good men and women, at least in the United States of America, to stand against this abuse of children. We must. What is it the Bible says about placing a millstone around somebody's neck? Yeah, anybody who hurts children deserves to have a millstone tied around their neck and to be thrown into the ocean, is what it says. And I'm a Christian, and I believe that is a command from God that we are failing to uphold at this very moment. It's very pathetic. So good for Mike Flynn to not go with the Trump administration's demand that we all just shut up about this. We don't need to go over the just absurd notion that reflects. The political absurdity of throwing away this golden goose opportunity to be a hero of the Republic and round up a gigantic cabal of billionaires that's literally hated by everybody. I don't know why we can't do things that would be universally popular ever. I don't know why this is so impossible. I think it's all tied up together. I think maybe if we were to solve the problem of Jeffrey Epstein's creepy criminal friends, we could probably get some other stuff done in the meantime. And yeah, there are a few positive, you could say, outcomes from this, like the one we just saw, the Goldman Sachs leader stepping down over Jeffrey Epstein, but not nearly enough, and certainly not from the places where it matters, like places in the DOJ or the Trump administration, where Jeffrey Epstein's bosom buddies are currently still very powerful. But here are just some of the latest, I don't know, questionable stuff. Some of this stuff, it's kind of up to the reader. It's kind of like, you know, okay, it could be bad. It could be not so bad. I mean, the jerky thing, it's like maybe occasionally in there, maybe they really are talking about jerky. I don't know. Seems to me like they're talking about human flesh, adrenochrome, something that jerky is a code word for. But I guess that's the point of code words. You can read it and go, he could just be a fan of beef jerky. I don't know. Some people are. I got an uncle that makes beef jerky, and it's like a whole thing. I mean, you know, some people are craft beer people. So all I'm saying is that there are code words or phrases in the emails that a lot of people are pushing forward saying this is what they're talking about, but it's sort of debatable. The reason I'm saying this is because this email is not one of those. This email, I cannot come up with an innocent explanation for. I can't imagine what they could be trying to talk about other than what it sounds like. Here's the email. And it's from somebody named John Brockman. And he says, better than well, things are going well, but no, Jeffrey, when am I going to see you? Give me a call tomorrow if you're bored at home. Happy Hanukkah. P.S. You missed the big event on Sunday, a party with a dozen beautiful East Side girls. Well, a dozen one-year-olds, ! What does that mean? What does that mean, though? But what could that possibly mean exactly? What do you mean you were having a party with a dozen one-year-olds? And what? I just have to keep saying what? But what could this mean? I mean, I don't know. I'm genuinely asking. If the crew can help, am I missing something here? I'll read it again. P.S. You missed the big event on Saturday. A party with a dozen beautiful Eastside girls, parentheses, well, a dozen one-year-olds, ! What are you talking about? What does that mean? Seems to me, I mean, call me crazy. From a layman's perspective, from purely just going off my gut, sounds like this guy is having a party where he's either eating or raping a dozen one-year-olds. I don't know if that's what it is, but I'm hard-pressed to find any alternative explanation for what the hell that means. Okay, so I could be wrong, you know? Allegedly, this is speculation, all of those good caveats, but what? But I think the only outcome to say is, what the hell, you guys? What do you mean there was a party with a dozen one-year-olds? And why did you call them beautiful East Side girls? I don't know. I just don't know. But we'll let that digest. We'll move on a little bit. And there were a lot of emails like this. The more you read into Jeffrey Epstein's emails, the more the picture becomes clear of who this guy was and how he operated. And what you get is this idea that he was like the Willy Wonka of the elite, and especially the scientific elite. He was the man with the golden ticket. In other words, he had been given billions and billions of dollars from his collaborators to prop him up and set him up as a philanthropist, as a funder of projects. And so as you read his emails, I was talking about this on Moonbase yesterday. We were using the web.io program that Ian Carroll's put together and investigating some of it and reading some of the emails. And everybody who talks to Epstein, you can tell they really want his money. He's got billions of dollars that he's dangling in front of them. And so all of their emails, you get this sense. I was reading one yesterday that, you know, he was going, hey, I wanted to tell you about these projects, and sorry if it's too long, but, you know, I thought you'd want some context, but you can skip that part if you want and just look at the, and it's like, you just get this sort of frantic energy because everybody knew that this guy could change your life. Everybody knew that one word or one check from this guy and your funding is approved for the next 10 years, or you're on your path to, you know, some presidential position in some company that you want. Because he was this node of intelligence and money and finance and science, he was walking around like he was, you know, King Midas. When in reality, it was all fraudulent, right? It's all fake. He's not anybody. He's just some dude that happened to have this particular skill, manipulation. That's the skill that he had. He didn't have amazing talent in science and finance or whatever. Maybe he was a little above average on some of these things, according to people who talked to him. But there's also a psychological reality that goes along with these types of people. The celebrity status. And you have to be kind of a demented person to enjoy it, I think. Because, and I've seen this. I remember I was working on Seth Meyers. Seth Meyers' show. And Seth Meyers shows up to the set, and everything he said, everyone around him would laugh at. It wasn't funny. Even when he was trying to be funny, it wasn't particularly funny, but everybody cracked up. There's a scene from The Sopranos, right, where Tony Soprano says a joke, and then it does this slow pan, and everybody's laughing so hard and slapping their knee, and did you hear that? And like, and it's all fake, but it's all fake. But I think the people laughing, they don't know it's fake. There's really this like giddy energy where when you're with a celebrity, it's like, oh, he's the funny guy. And so then he says something, and everybody's like, ah, you're so funny, Seth. You're so funny. And so there's like that energy around Jeffrey Epstein all the time, where it's like, oh, you have such good ideas. You're so smart. You're so good. And to actually like convince yourself that you're worthy of that takes a sick mind. And I always think about in the Soviet Union, there was this idea, or there's this I don't even know if it's true, but I think it was, this phenomenon where when Stalin would be introduced, people would cheer for like 30 minutes straight because nobody wanted to be the first person to stop cheering because then they might be sent to a gulag or killed. And so they weren't cheering out of genuine love for Stalin. He didn't deserve 30 minutes of adoration, but everybody was so scared of being killed that they were pretending to love him. And you have to wonder, as he stood up on the stage, soaking in the applause for 30 minutes straight, was he thinking, I deserve this, this is because they love me? Or was he thinking, yeah, you dirt, if you stop clapping, I'll kill you? Was he reveling in the power that that brought him? Was he convincing himself he deserved the applause? And I just wonder, what was Jeffrey Epstein's, or what is Jeffrey Epstein's mindset of all of this? Does he think he deserved the adoration and respect from all these people when he knew it was all predicated on a lie? One of the emails we were reading yesterday, the guy is talking to Jeffrey Epstein and he's going, you know, there's some really great takeaways from our conversation the other day. And, you know, here's what I've come away with. And he's like, one, the rich and powerful are not like you and me. Like, no, you're talking to one of the richest and most powerful people in the world. You're talking to somebody who has every world leader in their Rolodex on call. But somehow he's convinced this science guy, hey, you and me, we're not like those elite guys. We're not like those guys with the big bucks. It's like you're talking to a man who owns a pedophile island. You're talking to a man who has secret submarines and who routinely keeps women in cages, allegedly. But somehow he's convinced him that he's on his side against the big bad elite. So the point of all of this is that Jeffrey Epstein, as a person, doesn't really exist. He's an amalgamation of lies that he was happy to perpetuate on everybody. And part of this, part of the attraction to him, was the fact that everybody knew that he could hook you up with some top class hookers. He had the finest bevy of whores, you know, in the country. And you see these emails where it's people like, hey, Jeff, I'm going to be in New York. Any orgies, you know, going on? Right, so you had to be friends with him. You had to be in with him if you wanted access to the sluts, to be honest with you. I'm sorry to tell you. And not the victims. I'm not talking about the victims here. And I'm talking from the point of view of the billionaire scumbags. This is how they saw it. They saw, oh, Jeffrey Epstein, you got to be on his side so you can get access to the meat. That's the level of respect they had for these victims. So this is one of them, right? I haven't had fun in a while, but I am now. It's incredible. I'm seriously addicted. I'm trying to find some high-end Eyes Wide Shut parties. Do you know any? You know any Eyes Wide Shut parties, Jeff? This was who he was. This was why they valued him, is because he was the one that gatekept access to the illegal activity of the elite. And that includes the human trafficking, the sex parties, but it also includes the secrets you needed to know in order to hide your incredible wealth and offshore accounts, how to use tax law to avoid, your income being discovered. He had access to these types of secrets. And for a whole time I've worked at InfoWars, people ask me, like, what is the Illuminati? And wanted like a, and we could go into the history to, you know, Adam Weisstopp. We could go through all that and George Washington. I mean, the Illuminati has been around for a while, but how it manifests today in reality is that there's a certain level of people that operate above and outside the law that all of us operate by. And you have to know them in order to get access to the secrets and the methods and the connections that they use to avoid taxes and law and punishment for their crimes. And we'll get more into this on the other side. It wasn't just Epstein. It's a whole cabal of these people in every industry. Stay with us, folks. It's the Alex Jones Show. Go to thealexjonesshow.com to support us.
I'm going to be very clear about this. I've done an hour and a half of live broadcasts that have not plugged one time. You're not going to get economic, cultural, military, spiritual analysis like this anywhere else. That's not a power trip. I've been blessed by God with the best crew, the best guests, the best intel. But it's up to you to boost this information. All I ask is that you share the live feeds, you share the articles. We get shut down early next month, which is, I haven't made the announcement yet, but this is it. God keeps coming through with miracles, but it just looks like it. You'll see major movement soon. I'll just stop there. It's okay. But I'm asking all of you that have been on the fence, you share articles, videos, wonderful, keep doing it. I thank you, humbly. I'm not mad you never supported us financially, but the products are great. I'm asking everyone to do one thing. Go to thealexjonesstore.com today and one click, become a VIP for $30 a month. Now, you instantly get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, everything gets a discount when you do that. It's just like Amazon Prime. But let's just say you don't want ultramethylene blue or Shilajit or Irish sea moss or bovine colostrum that's so incredible. Not a sexy name, but sexy results. Maybe you don't want to get any of the great Patriot t-shirts. Just be a VIP every month. A donation of $30 to our sponsor, Bigly, that owns the Alex Jones Backup Network and the site. There's all sorts of behind the scenes attacking them. They're big boys too. You know, Nate was pardoned by the president for trying to save a woman on J6. He did save her. But I mean, these are patriots. Just go to the site, upper right hand corner, VIP club. Just commit. You can cancel any time, so it's not much of a commitment. But each month you charge $30 on the first day of the month. Just be a VIP. Pledge to us $30 a month. You've got NPR and PBS getting billions of dollars a year from the feds and then begging constantly for your money to shovel communism and pedophilic garbage on you. We just sell you the very best supplements you've ever seen, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, badass knives, and we're swinging for the fences. I'm totally committed. I've given up 95% of my assets, which weren't ever that big. I could care less. Actually, I'm actually happier not having a few things to deal with. But the point is that we're now up against the wall. So I need you to simply become a VIP. And then you got a bad month, whatever the issue is, cancel. And then you get more money in a few months. You know, say you're like blue collar, whatever, hardworking person, totally respectable, the bedrock of this country, $30 a month, you get a little bit of problem, cancel. It's free. And then a few months later, things are going well again, become a VIP again. But for all you middle class people and all you wealthy people that aren't investing in the fight against the tyrants, you are crazy. All of you that have means should be a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com. It's just a $30 donation. If you don't want to spend the $40 you get to buy great products and just want to let it, you can be a member and just pile up $40 each month. And at the end of the year, what's 12 months? You know, you've spent X and then gotten way more in and then, you know, do all your Christmas shopping. I don't care how you do it. I'm just saying, become a VIP. One click. Hit one button. I'm an attack dog, folks. I'm born for this. I'm bred for this. I love this. I'm fearless, other than failure. I have no fear. All I'm saying is please become a VIP right now at thealexjonesstore.com. That's the simple commitment. VIP, VIP, VIP. And that's the term they use for it. I would call it Paul Revere Fund. I would call it tip of the spear. There's nowhere you can support where you're getting bigger results against the enemy. Bang for the buck. It's just true. I'm not bragging. I'm very humble. I am your weapon. I am committed to you like a dog is to its owner. I mean, it's true. I am your servant. I am here to defend you and defend your family and defend your freedom because I'm defending mine as well, and we're all in this together. You understand? I am so committed to you at the very base of my soul. And I just simply want to see you awaken in the InfoWar. And there's nowhere better with one simple move than being a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. Sweet dreams are
made of this. Harrison Smith here sitting in for Alex Jones today. It is the 13th of February, 2026. And we have just filed probably one of the most landmark civil rights cases in recent history as we are going. Well, we're turning around. We are now charging back at the people who we'd been defending ourselves from. We are now on the offense and taking the fight to them. And you can support us in this mission by going to thealexjonesstore.com and supporting us and supporting yourself as well. Right now, it's a 52% off site-wide mega sale. So absolutely everything is 52% off. You're saving even more. If you're a VIP member, of course, you get the $10 discount or gift card every single month that you're a VIP member, as well as access to the Lost Alex Jones tapes, which I don't think we push enough. Folks, every Alex Jones show from 2001 to 2008 is gone from the internet, except at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you sign up to be a VIP member, it costs you $30 a month. You get $40 in store credit to spend. So you're getting an extra $10, plus you get additional discounts, plus you get additional entries into the giveaways, I'm pretty sure. I mean, there's like so much good stuff with the VIP, but you get access, exclusive access to the hidden tapes, the lost tapes of the Alex Jones Show, 2001 to 2008. It's the only place on the internet you can find it. And you have to be a VIP club member to download those. And it's just in addition to all the savings and, of course, keeping us on air and in the fight and in a way that, you know, we know we can depend on your support so we can make plans into the future, knowing that we've got such a sizable audience backing us up monthly with your support. So if you buy anything from thealexjonesstore.com, it's really a good idea to be a VIP member. But regardless, you're getting a fantastic product at 52% off. I mean, my God, I know I had friends in high school, their parents would like clip coupons and they'd be saving these piles of coupons for like Bed Bath & Beyond or whatever. And it'd be like, you get 10% off if you order over $100. It's like most sales are nothing. We are giving you 52% off every product. It's like, what are we even doing? I don't even understand. But it works because people love the products. And hey, if you can just try it, you know, maybe you don't want to go all in on a product, but now that it's 52% off, hey, give it a try. And guess what? You're going to love it. We don't sell bad products. Why would we? Such a bad idea. No, we sell you the best products available. And by the way, you know, some of these products you can get similar things elsewhere, right? You can get creatine at other places. You can get tallow other places, but you got to go in, you got to find out which suppliers are legit. You got to find out, you know, where they're even coming from. Half the time, you don't know where the hell it's being sourced or what the actual, you know, ingredients are. So we did all that work for you. We did it. We found the best possible examples of these products, and now we give them to you at the lowest possible cost we can bring them to you. So, you know, don't worry about trying to go around and find which brand has the best of these products. We have the best of all of it. That's the Bovine Blue Tallow Skincare line, which I was talking about when we first had Blue Tallow. It was just very coincidental that my wife had just bought tallow face cream of some sort. And I was looking at it and reading it and going, huh, tallow, I bet we could sell this on InfoWars. And I had no idea. That day we started selling tallow, and now we have the tallow skincare line with the methylene blue. So it's infused with that product. So long story short, you've kept us on the air. You've kept us in the fight. We swear on an altar of God, eternal vigilance and hostility against all forms of tyranny over the minds of man. And all that we ask is you support us in this mission spiritually and physically by supporting us at thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. Now, this next video, I was planning on going to it anyway, because I was just talking about just the sheer evil of the Epstein style people running around our country. And then I'm thinking about it during the break, and this is such a crazy video, and this is such a crazy claim. I think it's real. I think it's true. I don't have any reason to doubt this claim, but it's so wild. Like, I'm even telling the crew about it, and they're like, really? And I'm like, maybe I should double check this, because it's such a crazy claim. I don't want to believe it, but I don't have any reason not to believe it. It's a man who claims that he, for like a decade, was the quote-unquote blood boy of P. Diddy. He was his blood boy. So that exists, apparently. Let's go to clip 11. Again, I feel like I need to caveat this and go, I don't actually know if this is true, because it's just so out there. But I think it is. But I think it's real. But I'm pretty sure this guy's telling the truth, and nothing I can find contradicts it. And you'll see, they even present evidence in this interview that you can look for yourself and see, okay, looks like P. Diddy didn't really age for the time period that he was apparently a literal vampire, okay? After the last segment, the crew was like, yeah, these people are literal vampires. And I'm like, you have no idea. I'm like, you ever heard of a blood boy? So again, this is one of the craziest things I've ever heard. I think it's true. Clip 11, I was Puff Daddy's blood boy. I want a pint of your blood right now. Let's watch.
Hold on, you were Puffy's blood boy?
From 2004 to 2014.
Don't think I'm stupid, but what's a blood boy?
So when somebody parties too hard or isn't living right, they want a fresh blood in their system, right? I didn't drink, smoke weed, I didn't eat any pork, none of that. Diddy saw me and he was like, yo, I got a job for you. He was like, I want that blood. And I was like, whoa. And he drops 10 grand on the table.
10 large.
Yeah. He said, I want a pint of your blood right now.
So that was a one-off, or
that was the beginning. I'm a universal donor. He thought I was special. He called me his lucky little blood boy. Every like 3 months, he would fly me down to Miami. And this was the crazy part. He never actually wanted to do it on land. It wasn't legal at that time.
Yeah.
So we would get on a boat and he would take us to what he would call Oconus, outside of the continental United States.
Yeah.
And on his yacht, he would just drain blood. And he would just drain me. Just drain me, dude. Look at him from 2004 to 2014 and tell me if he aged.
Yeah, facts. And he's aging now that he's in prison. He's not all of a sudden father time.
Caught up with him, you know what I mean? Yeah. For 9 years, the majority of Puffy was made up with my blood.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know. It's kind of convincing, actually. I think he's telling the truth. The Blood Boy going Okonis off the continental United States. That means international waters. That means lawlessness. So that's who is, you know, dictating cultural norms for us for the last couple decades. Great. And of course, this ties into the abuse systems that were first inaugurated with like Motown in the 40s and 50s, and that the record producers there who were abusing and taking advantage of and exploiting all of the artists sort of indoctrinated Puff Daddy into this, and he was carrying on their tradition, as it were. He inherited the company, I guess you could say. Tech tycoon who spends $2 million per year to retain youth uses son as blood boy. Oh, right. I forgot. We live in hell. I forgot. I don't have to question this. It's acknowledged. I forgot they admit that they do this. It's just there's something still so creepy about hearing somebody say it that, like, you don't want to believe it. But no, I forgot. We live in hell and are literally ruled by vampires that are now basically coming out of the shadows. Of course it's real. Of course it's true. Of course they're acting like this is normal. My bad. My bad for ever doubting that P. Diddy had a blood boy on staff that he would take to international waters to drain. Sorry, I thought that was just too crazy to take on face value, but I forgot we live in hell world where the elite are openly drinking the blood of young people to try to live forever. Sorry, I forgot about that. Just insane. Can we have Kanye back? So the Epstein files have had some appropriate consequences in places like Europe. In America, we're still waiting for even the bare acknowledgement of what's been discovered, let alone the criminal trials demanded by the facts that we've uncovered. But at least in Europe, some things are happening. Norway's former prime minister, Jagland, has been charged with gross corruption over Epstein files. Former Norwegian prime minister Thorbjørn Jagland has been charged with gross corruption over his ties with U.S. sex offender Jeffrey Epstein, police have said. The charge was brought after the Council of Europe lifted Jagland's immunity, which he enjoyed because of his past diplomatic role. He denies criminal liability and is willing to cooperate, his lawyer says. Emails released by the U.S. government are thought to show that Jagland planned solo and family visits to Epstein's homes in Paris, New York, and Palm Beach after the billionaire was convicted of a child sex offense. Three of Jagland's properties were searched by Norwegian crime unit Økokrim, and he is now expected to be questioned. As well as serving as prime minister from 96 to 97, Jagland is also a former head of the Norwegian Nobel Committee and spent a decade as secretary general of the Council of Europe. Nobel Committee, as in the Nobel Peace Prize or the Nobel Science Prize. Nobel Prize in Chemistry. You think they're all perverts? You think they're all pedophiles? Or do you think they're just friends with and, you know, enablers of? I guess it's all the same. So at least in Norway, there's some consequences being had there. Ex-BBC anchor, meanwhile, avoids jail over repugnant images of children. BBC and the UK still having problems bringing their elite to justice for crimes against children, as Mike Cernovich points out. BBC anchor Hugh Edwards, now also given a free pass by the court, no jail time for child abuse images. The BBC kept him on salary. Relating this back to Jimmy Savile, who's known to have abused around 450 children over a 50-year period. Keir Starmer, the director of public prosecutions, declined to prosecute Savile, and of course is now prime minister. He also helped cover up the migrant rape gang because, as far as I can tell, the number one goal of the European elite is to have their populations raped to death. I think that is sort of their overwhelming concern at this moment. So next, BBC anchor avoids jail over repugnant images of children. Hugh Edwards, once one of the most trusted and recognizable faces on British TV, on Monday avoided jail at his sentencing over indecent pictures of children, capping a stunning fall from grace. The 63-year-old presenter was instead handed a six-month sentence, suspended for 2 years, meaning he will not serve any time in prison if he does not reoffend. Edwards guided Britons through some of their country's most seismic events over the past two decades, including the death of Queen Elizabeth II in September 2022. His calm delivery, mixed with the public broadcaster's reputation for journalistic impartiality, made him a reassuring presence for millions. However, his proclivity to sexually abuse children made him an utter terror for people that knew who he really was. I'll add, as a little editorial addendum. Meanwhile, Britain's most senior government official stands down. Britain's most senior government official, Chris Wormald, agreed with Prime Minister Keir Starmer to stand down, the third member of his team to go in recent days after the appointment of Peter Mandelson as U.S. ambassador threw the government into chaos. Starmer has vowed to never walk away after facing his biggest challenge to his authority yet, including a call from Labour's leader in Scotland to step down over the appointment of Mandelson, who was close to the late U.S. sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Why can't we have that here? Like, what? I don't know. I just don't get it. I mean, the UK is so suicidally retarded these days. They can't seem to do anything right, yet they're able to approach the Jeffrey Epstein scandal with some level of appropriate outrage. Meanwhile, here in America, people deeply tied into Jeffrey Epstein, financially, familially, in long-term friendships with the guy after he was convicted of child sex crimes, communication and interaction that they lied about deliberately and extensively in being approved for their current positions, are still there and are being defended by people in charge. Yeah, Howard Lutnick being one of them. What explains this? I don't know. I don't know. How are we more controlled than the UK when it comes to this? How are we not responding with more outrage? And it doesn't even make sense, because I would say that it's a partisan thing, because people are willing to excuse the most outrageous behavior if they think it'll benefit their side. But the MAGA people want this stuff released. The people at the top don't, but that's the inexplicable part. And the Democrats want this stuff. So it's not even like, oh, it's not happening in America because there's this partisan divide and the Democrats refuse to do anything. But I guess it's a Republican in this case, but the Republican people all want this. So I don't know. So I guess we're just even more controlled than the UK somehow in this regard. Top UK civil servant quits as government aims to calm Epstein storm. That's Chris Wormald again. His departure comes after two aides quit earlier this week over the row triggered by the appointment of Peter Mandelson. The fallout from Mandelson's appointment has sparked by emails showing that he remained friends with Epstein long after the latter's conviction in 2008. It's the most serious crisis of Starmer's 19-month tenure. Which, I don't know. I'm just baffled at this. I can think of a couple other things that might qualify as a bigger scandal. I don't know, allowing in millions of terrorists and then punishing the native UK population for being against that, I think is kind of a bigger violation of trust in his position as prime minister. I would think that, like, expediting secret crazy courts where they were throwing people in prison for years on end because of their tweets while simultaneously letting murderers out of prison because of claims of overcrowding. I mean, you would think that scandal would have taken the cake. Getting rid of jury trials, upending 1,000 years of, you know, British jurisprudence, you'd think that would be a big scandal. All of that just sort of happened. All of that was like business as usual. And now this is the big scandal. I don't get it. I mean, this is a big scandal. I'm not downplaying it, but it's like, why this out of everything? I'm just confused at it, I guess. Now, this is another aspect of the Epstein files that is pretty disturbing, but there are some questions about how legitimate this sort of pushback is. So from the Epstein files on X, schools across the U.S. cancel picture day due to Leon Black's Epstein file involvement. Pretty sad when local schools are more aware and doing more than our own government. Honestly, so pathetic, and they should be ashamed of themselves. Black, through Leon Black through Apollo Global Management owns LifeTouch, the company that dominates school photography in America. Of all the businesses someone with Epstein ties could own, a company with direct access to children's photos is probably the most alarming. So essentially, Leon Black has been connected to Epstein for a while, and some of the latest files about Leon Black are truly disturbing. Like, I don't even want to read them here. I'll sort of hint at what they say, but it's not for broadcast as far as I'm concerned. Like, that's actually how bad they are. And so he owns this company that more or less has monopoly on school photos. So people are saying, were they making a catalog of children? Like, what was this, a facial recognition thing? Which, all of that is a valid concern, I think. Who knows what could be done with all this information? I would just say that if you're concerned at that, if you're concerned about these people in these groups, in these cabals, in these networks, having access to something like your children's visage and their name and where they go to school in a giant database somewhere, you might want to think about the fact that Google is providing all of the laptops for all of your public schools. You might want to think about the fact that there are gigantic contracts with Amazon and Google and all these others to both provide electronics to your children so that they can surveil them continuously and grade them on a social emotional learning scale so they can personalize the manipulation of that child. If you're worried about your child's data being collected by corporations with nefarious intentions, I suggest you start looking into who's providing laptops to the school, what programs they're running, and how open they are about their intention of using their access to your children, the ability to gather data on your children, to manipulate your children to their own ends. Okay, so it ain't just about picture day, folks. Do you know who owns the company writing the books for school? Maxwell Hill, I mean, McGraw-Hill, owned by Robert Maxwell, Ghislaine Maxwell's dad. It's a lot more than the school pictures, I guess, is what I'm saying. But this is a good thing to do, too. I mean, this is what it's going to take. Clearly, the authorities are not doing their job. They're not sufficiently capable or willing to go after the criminal networks now openly exposed in the Jeffrey Epstein files. So going after the companies, going after the individuals, going and protesting outside of their universities or wherever they're employed has to be one of the tactics that we take now, because sitting silently while these people walk around free is not acceptable. Epstein files. Leon Black accused of violently biting sensitive areas of a 7-year-old. Released Epstein file trafficking notes reveal multiple women accusing billionaire Leon Black of brutal sexual assault inside Epstein's home, including a minor who was just 7 to 8 years old. Another victim was 16. She describes bleeding after an assault and was denied medical care, then flown out of New York the next day. Black founded Apollo Global Management, the largest publicly traded private equity fund on earth. Absolutely disgusting allegations. They truly are. Again, I'm not even going to read them out. You can see them on screen here. Leon Black, Wall Street person, 71 or 72, largest private equity global fund in the world, which I guess they're competing with BlackRock and State Street and Vanguard, and they all own each other, so it's all just one big happy family. And you can read some of the details of just the horrific accusations of abuse against him. Again, this is alleged. This hasn't been proven in court, but that's because I think he's above the law. I don't think he will ever be brought to court for this stuff, even though he definitely should be. But do you know that Leon Black's son has a position in Donald Trump's White House? Isn't that interesting? You understand it's a family affair. You understand that all these people's kids are in positions of power all over the place, right? It's a family affair. Larry Ellison's son is running the digital ID program in the UK. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on and on. And their kids all get these very high-powered positions so that they can inherit the sort of shadow nobility position that their parents held. And the way to understand it is a meritocratic aristocracy, so that there's all these different families, and there's not that many of them. And sometimes they hand their operations directly off to their children, like George Soros hands his operation to his son, and everybody who used to be a slave of George Soros now goes and bows at the feet and pays fealty to his son. Because these people don't believe in meritocracy, they believe in keeping power within their bloodlines. But it's not always that direct. A lot of times it's an opening and it will be filled by somebody from one of these families, but you have to kind of prove yourself capable first. So it's not an automatic thing. You have to earn it. But the school of candidates is very select and within these certain families. So that's the way that it works. And it's why all these people have kids with positions in the White House, or Ron Lauder, president of the World Jewish Congress, his son is now going to be ahead of the Fed. You know, what are the odds? What are the odds that the heir to the Estee Lauder fortune and president of the World Jewish Congress just happens to have a son who's the best fit to run the Federal Reserve? You know, what are the odds, right? It's not about odds. It's about bloodlines. We also have Norway. I mean, Norway I don't know what Norway's problem is, but they're all over these Epstein files in the most heinous stuff. Yeah, Trump picks Apollo co-founder's son for DFC after firm shows interest in ex-debt. Yeah, so good for him, right? This is from the Princess of Norway. And she says, "You always make me smile because you tickle my brain." This is what she's saying to Jeffrey Epstein. "But I want the data. For now, or the bill is mine. Is it the cocktail of all the unnaturals that have a profound effect on early stages of development in humans? Soon people won't be able to make new humans anymore. But I guess that would be La La Land great. We can just design them in a lab." I guess we can just destroy our natural ability to reproduce, but it's fine because we can create some sort of homunculi in a jar somewhere. And that's good enough, you crazy bitch? Like, what are you talking about? Why? What is wrong with these people? How are these people the most powerful people in the world? And what the hell is wrong with them? What are they talking about? So it's like, it's almost like they're half human, right? They're like, oh my God, there's poison everywhere. It's affecting our ability to reproduce. It's affecting children from a young age. And instead of being like, let's solve that problem, let's mitigate those consequences, they're like, let's create clones of us and rule the world forever by uploading our souls to a machine. And so what? What is wrong with these people? And what do we have to do so that they can go away forever? Like, what do we have? Can we just... You know, they want to put us in a digital prison. Let's put them in a digital prison. They want to rule the world. They want to abuse kids. Let them do it in cyberspace, locked up in a jail cell, glue a Oculus Rift to their eyes, and let them have all the fun in the world as long as they're not bothering real people and real human beings, because we're trying to fix the crap that they keep saddling us with.
Got to get to a point where we are self-sufficient again, Texas. And when it comes to health, also food, our food needs to be clean, number one. It just needs to be clean. And
Florida has pointed out, put that back on screen, all these major brands have got hundreds of times the glyphosate you should have.
Glyphosate.
Absolutely. Well, your doctor tells us what that does.
Oh, this is gonna change your brain. This is going to set you up.
It erases your blood-brain barrier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really an accelerant or an adjuvant.
Absolutely.
Everything in there. Explain that.
It destroys the blood-brain barrier. So that's a protective thing that happens between the cerebral spinal fluid and your fluids inside the brain and the things that attack it from the outside. Once that barrier is depleted, then it's subject to all kinds of heavy metals, things that get sprayed from the sky, right? Barium, aluminum, all these things that it protects you from. Why methylene blue works? It does. It counters that. It's.
Oh, let me ask you that. 45 minutes in, you feel it, Doc?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Be honest though. You got your own special brand. Is this good or what?
No, this is the same effect I'm getting, but it feels right. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, it's a little easier to take. Yeah.
By easier, what do you mean? Compared
just
to
the way it feels, you know, just going down, drinking it. But
So this one tastes better, but it's as good as the one your doctor gave.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, so your doctor must have a good one.
We'll see. We'll go down the road a little ways. I'll text you.
Guys, get him a couple bottles of this. I need Doc Chambers endorsing this.
I'm not getting it for free, but I'll definitely help.
No, you're getting it down. Come on. Free your it's amazing.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue. At TheAlexShowStore.com.
Unlimited power! Volunteer power! leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones